السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome once again to our Q&A program with our guest Mufti, Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas, and myself, your host for tonight, Junaid Jassat. We say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Saab.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Tonight, inshallah, we will be discussing a vast array of topics, and since it is the holidays and there are many students that are perhaps listening to us, or many people know of students who are listening to us, you don't have any homework to do, you got no preparation for tomorrow, inshallah, you can also tune into the program, and you may think that fatwas and us, we have no connection. But yes, there are many rulings, many questions that you may have in your life that you would like the Sharia ruling about. You can call in and ask your questions. And there are many situations in the classroom as well where you need Sharia guidance on. So whoever has students as family, you can call them and tell them to phone in and listen in to our program, inshallah. Mufti Saab, we have many questions tonight also, inshallah. And we can also carry on with last week's a bit of discussion of the Umrah that we did. Firstly, we have one question that has come in. This is from the questions that have come in last week, actually. And we did not have enough time to handle it. The question came in that, Mufti Saab, is it permissible to take photos? And with clothing items which have pictures of animate objects on it, is it are those clothing items permissible to wear or not? And the question goes on. If Mufti Saab could just address this question for us, we could carry on with the other aspects just now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, concerning photography, we from the Indo-Pak subcontinent state very clearly that photography is not permissible of animate objects. Now, animate objects will mean that those objects which have got soul, which are soul-bearing. Now, that's one aspect of it. Secondly, that to take photographs of scenery, etc., will be permissible. Thirdly, in my humble opinion, that to utilize photography as a educational media solely, purely for educational purpose, only for educational purpose and no other reason, then that will become permissible. For example, in the medical field, that certain patients or certain individual will have a particular ailment, disease, which needs photography to be taken, and then treatment, and thereafter the result, etc. So, for that sole purpose, wherein obviously there is no lust, no passion in that sort of photography, then we will say that form of photography will be permissible. Also, for the photography to study a particular object, then that photography will be permissible. But to take a photography and then to keep it in the album, then to remember it, and every time there is an un-Islamic birthday going on, then to take photography of the children and to encourage them to such an extent that the child does not even know that this photography is haram, not permissible. And the child grows up birthday after birthday and session after session in this gathering wherein so much photography is taken, and the child does not even distinguish the difference and grows up feeling that no, this is permissible. Then the wedding comes, photography is taken, and lavishness in that wedding, all that is photographed. Unfortunately, most of them futile, vain, wasted of money, fall under the category of extravagant. And the hadiths are clearly stating that in that home where there is a photograph or a dog, that the angels do not come. The angels here are referred to the angels of mercy. A person illogically and know that I will keep a dog or keep photographs and the angel of death will not come, that is a high level of stupidity and arrogance. Because here the angels referred to in the hadith are the angels of mercy, barakah, blessing and goodness. Now you will find, unfortunately, that certain liberal scholars will say, no, photography, there is no problem in it, and for photography is the route to go. Unfortunately, we do not subscribe to that view, and we must be very clear that that liberal view is not academically solid, it is not academically concrete. However, that due to need and necessity, for example, if you have to have photograph for visa, etc., then it will be permissible to take the photo. So as per need and necessity, the photograph will be permissible.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. We have an anonymous sister waiting online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti Sahab, what I want to know is, women in the state of his, what could they read that is regarding morning and evening du'as, wazifas? And could you clarify on that, please, and I'll listen over the air.
Jazakumullah
khairan. The woman who's experiencing haiz, that is monthly or menstruation, and she wants to make isal e sawab or make or read something for the deceased, then kalimas, simple kalimas like Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, these askar which do not pertain to tilawat of Quran per se, that can be recited in abundance, and even the first kalima la ilaha illallah can be recited in abundance. In fact, it is written in Fatwa Darul Ulum Dioban that if a person recites 70,000 times the kalima la ilaha illallah and passes it to the deceased, it is hoped inshallah that Allah in His mercy will forgive the deceased. But this, it is clearly stated there, it is not proven from any hadith, but it is a practice coming down from the pious predecessors. So all these askar, which are not ayats of Quran Kareem, can be recited so that the person can read it and pass it as isal alayhi sawab to the deceased. Remember clearly here that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the whole kalima is not a zikr on its own. The mashayikh, when they ask the murid to read Muhammadur Rasulullah after 100 or 200 times, if you cool off the effect of La ilaha illallah, so also to benefit the deceased, charity can be done and aid can be given to the destitute poor in the name of the deceased, in the name of the deceased, I mean, by doing that good action, the reward of it can be transferred upon the deceased.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. And the listeners are once again reminded, our number to call in for to call in your questions live on 854-1548. And if you would like to call in your questions and have them read out for you on air, the number to dial is 854-7022. 854-7022. You could also fax your questions through on 854-7024 or email as well at info@radioislam.co.za. And just a word of reminder for the listeners and for everybody out there is that this is a fatwa program. It's a program of questions and answers, and the object of this program and of all questions that are placed before any learned scholars is in order to satiate a need that we have. If there is a situation that has arose, in order to challenge the situation and to sort that out. It should not be for hypothetical situations, and it should not be for something that has not occurred as yet. We have a caller that is waiting online, Brother Rafiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
So I just got a few questions here. Right? My first question is, a person in an intoxication mind, intoxicated in other words, and he's his wife, what's the ruling there? My first question. Second question is, in Salat, when you're sitting in Tisha witness, sometimes notice a lot of times when like we must your finger and you read Ashhadu Allah, you put it down. But notice some, I don't know, is it a mazhab or is it one of the four mazhabs that a person's finger rotates in a circular motion, right? That's the second question. Third question is, your domestic worker in your home, if they break any of your items, can the money be taken from them as a compensation, right? As I said, and the fourth question is, a Muslim businessman that sells lotto tickets, what's the ruling about it? I'll hear the answers on
the last
on
question.
The radio.
Explain the last question.
Brother?
Yes.
What is your last question?
Oh, my last question was a Muslim businessman, and he has this machine, you know, the lotto tickets that people purchase in it, and he has one of those machines in his shop, and he's selling these tickets. What's the masala? I'll listen to the
masala
answer.
Masala on the machine, or masala on the person, or masala on the shop?
Brother, one on. Yes.
I hope you noted that, Molana, all those questions.
Yes.
We'll take them one by one, inshallah.
Yes.
What's the first
question? The first question is...
the person who is issuing talaq in a state of intoxication, the talaq is valid. Now, as a Muslim, a person should be of sound mind all the time. A person should be in control of his senses all the time. A person should be maintaining discipline all the time. A person should not say that, listen, I consumed alcohol and now I issued the talaq, or I've taken some drugs and issued the alcohol. That the haram activity will not make this issuing of talaq permissible. Otherwise, can you imagine the chaos that every person issuing talaq will write to the mufti and tell the mufti, oh, I did not issue this talaq in sound mind, I was intoxicated. Unfortunately, every second person will be running around with this excuse in mind that, okay, that when you are intoxicated, then if you issue talaq, the talaq does not fall. Remember clearly, it falls, it occurs, it is valid, and a person, as a Muslim, has to, it is farz to abstain from haram drugs, and it is farz to abstain from alcohol, intoxicating drugs, etc. So he cannot consume those things and issue talaq and hoping that it does not fall.
The second question is, he notices some people waving their finger in a circular motion.
In tashahud, whilst reciting tashahud, yes, the Hanafi scholars state that after raising it, then to leave it, to drop the finger. That is written in the Hanafi books of jurisprudence. However, if a person, there is one school of thought stating that the finger should be rotated quite viciously, meaning quite conspicuously. And if you are sitting near a person, you can actually see that that person is rotating that finger quite viciously. According to that mazhab, it is permissible. However, it is written in Fatwa, in Imdadul Fatwa, one Ashraf al-Thani Ramtullah Alayhi, I think in Volume 5, that according to the Hanafi research scholars, that to rotate the finger very, very slightly is also permissible. So the Hanafi scholars state clearly that one is to release the finger, drop it. Secondly, or to slightly move it, very, very slightly. Yeah.
And the next question about the lotto machine.
The lotto machine, obviously, it is haram. Any sensible Muslim should not be engaging in any haram activity. And unfortunately, a Muslim restaurant owner has got a lotto machine, then certain brothers should approach him gently and explain to him nicely that this lotto machine will not bring any khair, goodness, barakah, blessings in his premises, in his business. In fact, it will earn and deserve the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should take this machine out, no matter he feels that it attracts any crowds or it attracts people. But in reality, it will attract the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All earnings from that machine are totally forbidden, haram to use, to consume. And that person should immediately forthwith take out that machine from his premises a person who has got that machine in his premises is definitely a open, flagrant transgressor of Shariat and is a disobedient person in the eyes of Shariat.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib. And we have an anonymous brother who is waiting on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Hi, Marana.
Alhamdulillah. Brother, could you speak a bit louder?
I wish to ask Mufti Sahib a question.
Ji.
Mufti Sahib?
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mufti Sahib, the first question I've got is that actually I had a discussion with someone and they mentioned to me that to take out a photo is okay according to some Arab ulama. And the reason that he's given me is a hadith that he quoted. And he says that in this hadith, it's narrated by Ibn Abbas, if I'm not mistaken. And he says that the hadith states very clearly that only a person who is an artist is cursed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not a person who takes out a photo. And the Arab ulama have stated that a photo is actually stopping time and capturing that moment. It's not reliving the person or the person's life. So I just wanted clarification on this, and I wanted to know, what could I tell him, what kind of hadith can I give to him, because he doesn't want to listen to any pious person saying. He wants to listen to some Quran ayat, to some hadith. I'll listen to the answer over the air.
Is that all you'd like to ask, brother?
Yes.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
As far as the that brother posing his question, and I will appeal to all listeners also, that whenever you pose a question and you have to use the word of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then recite durood after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you have to use the name of any sahabi, like for example Hazrat Ibn Abbas, then please say radiyallahu ta'ala anhu after the name of the pious righteous sahaba, they are blessed. And they are blessing for the ummah. And the hadith, nowhere in the hadith it is talking about actually the word photography. And the hadith there is talking about lanat upon the sculptor. And there are so many hadiths talking about the person who draws an inanimate object, then on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to instruct him to give life to that object. So that is there. Also, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered the home, he saw a curtain hanging which had photographs on it, which had prints on it. He pulled it off and he was displeased about that. Thirdly, there is a hadith stating Jibreel alayhi sallam did not come when he supposed to have come. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one narration, it was stated that this was due to the presence of a dog nearby. Another narration that there was that curtain which I've just mentioned about. Due to that, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam did not come to the home of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are books written. If the brother is interested, he can inshallah go to one of the Darulubs. Darulub Azadville has definitely got a book. It's called Photography in Islam. And if you email me, I will send you to certain sites where you can download enough hadiths concerning photography, the prohibition of photography in Islam. As far as the Arab ulama are concerned, then as I told you initially in my answer, there are certain liberal scholars who are stating that photography is permissible. However, amongst the Arab ulamas themselves, that those that are interpreting the ahadiths validly, correctly, and in the true spirit of proper interpretation are clearly stating that photography is not permissible, and photography of animate objects for lust, passion, wasting of time, passion, etc. is definitely not permissible.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib. And we have one caller, a sister, an anonymous sister online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
You can go ahead, sister.
Assalamu alaikum. I'd just like to ask Mufti Sahib a question. Somebody gave their wife 2 talaqs, right? And they made up afterwards. Now, do they still have only 1 talaq left in their lifespan, or does the 2 talaqs fall away completely?
Is that all you'd like to ask, sister?
And I want to know something else. Somebody went for Hajj, right? And just before leaving, they got their menses, and they didn't make tawaful wida. Is the Hajj complete, or what should they do?
Just before leaving from Makkah.
From Makkah, ji. So they didn't make their tawaful wida. So is the Hajj complete, or is there something else that they, or must they redo it again?
Is that all, sister?
Yes.
Jazakumullah khaira.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Let's take the first question, the second question first, at least. The person was in Aiz and did not make the Tawaf al-Wida. That Tawaf al-Wida has got a valid excuse behind it, and the Tawaf al-Wida lapses. What a person should be doing is, after the Tawaf al-Ziyara or the Tawaf al-Ifada, which is farz and as part of Hajj, a person should make a nafil tawaf. And the last nafil tawaf will be regarded as the tawaf al-wida. So this point which I'm mentioning should be borne by all potential hajis, that when you completed your tawaf al-ziyara, then make one tawaf nafil tawaf, as many as nafil tawaf as possible after that, so that if sometimes your agent calls you all of a sudden and you have to leave for Jeddah rushingly without going back to the haram, then your last tawaf is considered as your tawaf al-wida. In case stated, the tawaf al-wida lapses. There is no dam involved. No penalty to be given. As far as the talaq issue, when a person issues, as the case has been stated, two talaq, and now they have, alhamdulillah, reconciled, but they should be very cautious that the person, the husband, has got only one talaq, one divorce left. That means he was entitled to three, he utilized two. Now, alhamdulillah, there has been reconciliation. After the reconciliation, he does not regain three, but he has used two, he's got one left. He has got one left.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib. And now we will be breaking for an air break, and inshallah after that we'll be taking in the news and carrying on with our program thereafter. Let us remind our listeners once again, you can call in your queries after the news, 854-1548, or you can call in and have your message, have your question read over the air, 854-7022. We will be breaking for the news now.
You are currently on Medium Wave 1548.
Fair, canned meat. If you love good meat, you need a good butcher.
Welcome. This is Medium Wave 1548.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back once again to our Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas. Mufti Sahib, we have a few questions, quite a backlog from last week. Inshallah, we will try and handle a few of those questions. We were discussing the questions about photographs, and the next part of the question goes that, are children allowed to have dolls? Mufti Sahib, could you please address that for us?
Concerning this, late Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, has written a kitab on this, and he has mentioned and he has also interpreted those ahadiths wherein it is stated that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to make dolls in inverted commas and play with them. Those were so-called toys but did not have any eyes. Now, and I've seen most of our elders also that disfiguring so-called toy and removing the eye, etc. So the doll, if it's going to be used as a toy, then it should be disfigured with the nose, etc., the eyes, etc., so that you cannot recognize that this is a form of a human or a baby or whatever it is.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib. I've been asked to make an announcement. Actually, it's quite late already. Today is the 29th of June, and this announcement is for an inheritance workshop, which is actually carrying on right now, which is started already at Sabri Masjid, and there are a few muftis as well there, and there are separate accommodation for ladies. The program started after Isha Salah. If it is still on, it would be very interesting and very informative for us to learn from as well. Mufti Sahab, the next question, part of these questions is that the wife earns more money than the husband, so therefore does she have the right to overpower the husband and belittle him?
This is a very common situation unfortunately occurring in our age. Because of so-called liberalization and so-called empowerment, so-called freedom empowerment, and allowing so much of freedom that the woman who is supposed to be the queen of the home and supposed to be in hijab, etc., and now has been taken out of the home environment and now has been taken out of the protective environment, taken out and made into a commercial item, and taken out in the name of freedom, made to slave and slog and earn money, and sometimes that the marriage even breaks down because the wife is earning, and the wife now, because realizes that I am earning and I am the so-called breadwinner and I am the one sweating and earning, now begins to dictate to the husband who is not earning so well. As a result, there is chaos, quarreling, fighting, abuse, shouting, and unfortunately, most of the time, it ends up in a divorce. Also, because of this, we have been informed that nowadays we have those wives who are earning and who say that we are now have got financial muscle and financial power. They have what you call ladies' night. They leave the husbands at home to tend to the children, to look after the children, and the wives who are earning, they gather, they group, and they go out of the homes. Allah Ta'ala knows best where they're going and what they're doing, but in all fun, frolic, and play and entertainment, in the name of all this, they're going out of their homes, leaving their husbands who are now not earning as much as the wives. Yes, understanding should be taken place here that who is going to earn, who is going to provide for the family. We must remember clearly that al-rijaluna qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa, that men are the custodians of the woman, men are the guardians of the woman, men are the supervisors of the woman, men are the well-wishers of the woman, men are the caretakers of the woman, men are the supporters of the woman. The man's responsibility is that he is supposed to be the breadwinner and supposed to be carrying out outside activities, tending to the outside activities, so that there can be harmonious relationship and there can be good behavior patterns developing in the home.
Jazakallah khairan, Mufti Sahab. And Mufti Sahab, we have a letter which has been there's, before we handle this letter, there's an anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And also, assalamu alaikum to Mufti Sahab. Mufti Sahab, I've got a question to ask, is that, you know, the young couple who were married recently for about 2 years, and they had an argument. And the wife said to the husband that, listen, give me one talaq and I want to go home, because they were staying, you know, she was staying where her parents are. Now, okay, the husband told her, take your talaq and go home. And after a few days, he revoked the talaq and he said, they don't want her to go back. They say, no, she must not go back. And now what they are doing is they're not letting him see the child, or they say that he can only see the child once in a week and just for a few minutes. Okay, besides that, what they have done now, they went to the court, and they found out from the court that the court have given this ruling that he can only see the child once a week and for 1 hour, and they don't allow him for 1 hour, but just for a few minutes, and that also just out of the house. And also, what they have found out from the court, that he has to support her, the wife, till she gets married again. So now, from the Sharia point of view, is this correct? And this person, this lady's father is an alim, and he says no, this is correct. That's question number one. Other thing what I want to raise with Mufti Saab, you see, on the 17th of March in our town, a learned person from Channel Islam came there and he had a program. Now, before his lecture, he mentioned that we must not ask questions or say things which causes dispute or division in the ummah. And then a question was asked to him that about the witr salah, because in our town we have a majority Hanafis and we have about 2 to 3% Shafis. So this question was asked before also, and Mufti Saab said no, you can, Hanafis can make witr behind the Shafi imam. So he mentioned that I did answer this question, and while speaking, this learned person from Channel Islam said that, you know, once Hanafis and Shafis were having a debate, and the Hanafis said that Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh is a brother of Shaitan. Now, I want to, find out how sincere is this learned person, because now he himself has created hatred, you know, amongst, I could see the faces of the Shafi brothers, they were actually swollen up. And then also while speaking,
brother, could you please come to the
right
to the object
okay
of your
then
question.
Also he mentioned that those Hanafis who don't want to make witr salah behind Shafi imam are cracked Hanafis. And also a question was asked to him, do we have to follow one madhab or one imam? So he said that is only for the common people. It's only for the common people. So I just want Mufti Saab to respond to these few questions.
Brother, if you're asking about the ruling with regards to this learned person, then unfortunately we don't discuss people on our program.
Right.
But if you're asking about the ruling with regards to a question or an issue,
well,
then we can give
that. The question about creating this problem in the ummah, mentioning a thing which definitely creates a problem and hatred, in our town. And this person always when it comes to Hanafi, always mocked at Hanafi. Like the last time he said Hanafis think they super Muslims. This is very serious. It's very, very serious for a learned person to say such things in the masjid.
Okay, Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Let's take the first question. As far as the first question is concerned, the persons involved should try and reconcile, because there is only one talaq has been issued. So the party should sincerely, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reconcile, especially when the husband wants to reconcile. And they should try to make a home and not divide, especially because there is a child involved. And also there is an alim involved, so let the sanity prevail and not go to the kufar court as far as possible. And they have gone to the kufar courts, which have ruled visitation 1 hour per week, and if they are only giving few minutes, then that is completely erroneous, and that is not good for harmonious relationship, and not good for future family building. Also, is going to cause more legal expenses, more court cases. So they should sincerely try to resolve the matter outside court, get certain ulama involved, get the jamiat involved, and try to get some neutral parties involved. The person may say that no, there's an alim involved, and the jamiat may side the alim. No, then get certain influential persons involved of the locality who are neutral, and together with these people, get the ulama of the jamiat involved and try to resolve that issue. Secondly, as far as as rightfully stated by Maulana Junaid Jasad, that we are not going to comment on any individual specific alim of any other station or any, or even if our own station or any newsletter, etc. But in principle, what the brother should do, try to listen to one of my tapes, which I've delivered a lecture in Sabri Masjid. It is called Why Follow One Imam of Fiqh. And go to my website, alislam.co.za. I've written two books, Taqleed Made Easy, and the other one is Why Follow One Imam of Fiqh, where we have proven categorically and clearly that in our age, especially Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has clearly stated that Taqleed, following of one Imam, Taqleed al-Shakhsi, is wajib in our age. And the four Imams and their followers have been functioning concurrently without any difficulty, without any problems, without any quarrel and fighting. Only the ignorant, unfortunately, caused difficulties and disunity and discord. So we should not degrade any other mazhab. We must love each other, respect each other, honor each other. As far as the witr is concerned, it is the practice in South Africa that where there is a majority of Hanafis, then the Hanafi imam leads, and the Shawafi brothers, they go to the side of the masjid or another floor of the masjid or to another section or a classroom attached, and they perform their witr. This was the standard procedure in most of the places and is still up to date the standard procedure. And with that, there was no discord, no disunity, no disagreement, and we should leave that practice as the status quo, so that there will be no difficulties in future. We should not try to cause so-called unity, but in the process result in disunity. But remember clearly that to follow one imam is compulsory wajib, and also we should respect each other, so that there be harmony prevailing in our masajid. So far, alhamdulillah, in South Africa, we should be proud that we do not have any difficulty as far as the mazhabs are concerned, and there is cooperation, there is love, there is brotherhood, there is no difficulties. And where there is no difficulties, we should not cause any disunity.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab. And we have another caller who is waiting online, anonymous brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Rafiq. Yeah, my favorite one earlier, I posed four questions, but you answered three, right? My one question, I don't think you heard it, or you never put it on. My question was, a domestic worker.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
If they break anything, yeah. You know, can compensation be taken? I don't know what the must be on.
You
heard my question.
Now I've heard it. That remember, when you in this age of ours in South Africa especially, that when you draw a contract with your domestic worker, then if in that contract you have stipulated this, if you have stipulated that due to carelessness or negligence, if an item is destroyed, then the domestic worker is going to pay for it, then it will be rightful, legal for you to take that money. But if there was no contract drawn, or if there was no understanding, and the domestic worker broke an item, then it will not be permissible for you to take the money from the worker. It will not be logical, permissible also to take the money from the worker. Yeah, I would like to stress that the government has increased by legislation the wages of domestic workers, and this is very good, and this is important to follow, so that they also have a fair salary, and they are given fairness in their labor and also a good wage to live by. And we should treat our workers how Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to treat them. And alhamdulillah, in this regard, the Jamiat has taken out a nice booklet about the rights of workers and employees. You try to access it and read it. There is a lot of material from Quran and Hadith and Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining the rights of workers.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. And Mufti Sahab, we have another question that has that we have here. It's a letter to Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum. I'm writing this letter to say that why we Muslims dress in black. The basis of the basic gist of this letter is the sister is asking that Muslim women in funerals dress in black always, and not as the old ladies used to do in the past of dressing in different colors. Is it firstly correct to dress in black? And she thinks that encouragement should be given to ladies to dress in colors other than black. Mufti Sahab, could you comment on this, please?
First of all, that for ladies to go to Muslim funeral homes dressed un-Islamically is totally not acceptable in the eyes of Sharia. By un-Islamically, I mean that to turn that funeral house into a house of festivity and celebration, and unfortunately, instead of bereaving and grieving, there is joy. Instead of sorrow, there is laughter. And instead of grief, there is a sense of enjoyment. Unfortunately, this is added upon by people dressing un-Islamically and like a fashion parade going to these funeral homes. So, going there to pass your words of condolence is permissible. But to go there dressed un-Islamic is not permissible. However, when you go there dressed Islamically, meaning that the ladies are covered totally from head to toe, covered in proper hijab, then it is not necessary that only the color black is to be utilized. Any color which is non-attractive can be utilized for the hijab whilst going to the funeral home. Not necessarily black.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. And we have another question here, Mufti Sahab. The husband and wife are Muslim, but the mother is not a Muslim and is living with them. What steps can the person do because they've got idols next to Allah's name? This is a question that has been called in. Mufti Sahab, could you please comment on that?
If this person should definitely take a stand on the issue, because one is to treat the non-Muslim mother or father properly, meaning treat them nicely, cordially, hospitably, and if possible even help them, and if possible be generous to them, and if they are sick, aid them. But it does not mean that to compromise to such an extent that now allow the idols to be brought in and the idols to be brought right into the home. There should be some lines and demarcations to state that this is a home of Tawheed, that this is a home of Islam, that this is the home where shirk has to be removed, and this is the home of cordiality minus shirk. This is a home of hospitality minus kufr. This is a home of fair treatment, but no compromise on ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely, that this has to be explained properly, that you are welcome and we will treat you properly, we will feed you, we will care for you, and by akhlaq try to present Islam to the person, but by no means that the idol can be equated or equivalent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is gross shirk, and that will influence and create a confusion in the forthcoming children, and that will create utter chaos in that home, that when people come there, they will not know that this is the house of a Muslim or house of a non-Muslim or house of a believer or house of a disbeliever. So this is basic in nature and has to be explained so that we can live in the house of Tawheed, Ma'idah, Shirk.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. Another question that we have here that has just been called in. The husband has uttered to his wife, "You can pack your bags and go to your mother's house." Is this counted as talaq or not?
As far as this issue is concerned, shortly I will be having one program about basic information relating to talaq, which I did have in Durban. And there are various types of talaq. Now, one is sari talaq. Sari talaq meaning that the word talaq explicitly is used, and there is no doubt and ambiguity in the utilization and utterance of talaq. Here, it is kinaya. Kinaya meaning that the divorce is stated in ambiguous terms, not clear terms, not explicit terms. And this, go to your mother's house, or go for good, pack your bags and go, leave the home, and all these words are termed in Sharia as inaya. It will solely depend on the intention of the husband. If the husband intended divorce, then one divorce will take place, one divorce, a bain, will take place. And if he did not, in most cases, he does not intend divorce, but he just wants to admonish his wife or threaten his wife by saying these words that go to your mother's house, pack up your bag, leave, all this, he says to admonish his wife. So we would say that this person did not intend divorce, therefore there is no divorce, no divorce has occurred, and we will regard that matter as one of admonition, not of divorce.
Jazakumullah khairan Muftisab. And we're coming to the close of our program now, inshallah ta'ala. We will be taking this last two questions, and we will be closing our program thereafter. The questions are, Muftisab, number one is that the place from where a man has to shave, removing his pubic hair, is it directly from the navel, or is it further down? And the second question is, can hair be removed in the state of janabat? Can hair be removed in the state of janabat, major impurity?
The first question, that the hair has to be removed from the navel downward. From the navel downward. Second question that most of the classical jurists kitabs are stating that hair should not be removed in a state of janabat. However, some of these scholars have questioned this ruling and said that if it is removed in a state of janabat, then it will be makruh. That action will be makruh.
Jazakumullah khairan Muftisab. And we just have a last call that has come in. Brother really wants to, he called this question in earlier, and he wants to know that this taking photographs that Muftisab has explained already, if I have a cell phone which has a camera on it, then will it be permissible for me to take a picture of an animal and shortly after that erase it from the cell phone? Is that permissible, Muftisab?
This is a new fitna that has come about, that the cell phone has now got the ability and the potentiality of taking photographs. And the brother, today he'll take a photograph of an animal, tomorrow he'll take a photograph of, unfortunately, those things which are absolutely haram, and then pass it around and SMS it around and send it even to emails, etc. All those facilities, unfortunately, are available. So the person is trying to, unfortunately, get a ruling, a permissible ruling out of the Mufti, which is not good. Definitely, Sadde Bab will say, to close the door, that action will be not permissible to do. One thing, if we give permissible ruling, it will open the door for many other wrong things to take place. However, that facility can be utilized, yes, in a positive manner. For example, that a person, he is a manufacturer of shoes, and he is overseas, or he's a manufacturer of garments, and he's overseas, and he wants to relate to his buyer or his designer. So he photographs it wherever he is, in another part, China or Japan or wherever he is, and then he SMSs or emails it to his buyer or his designer in South Africa, who sees it, views it, comments on it, makes the necessary suggestions and criticism, where thereby saving time, etc. So it can be used permissibly. However, there are more wrong uses, unfortunately, for it.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab. And that brings us to the end of our program, Q&A with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas, on this Tuesday night, 29th of June 2004. Inshallah, we will commence with a further program next week, inshallah, with Mufti Saab. We say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Saab. And to all our listeners, jazakumullah khairan for listening and calling in with your queries, questions, and keep your finger on the dial and try and phone us as soon as often as possible, and find out whatever you need to find out about your about the Sharia rulings with regards to your life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah.